all I was hoping for. Oh, shit. Music at the intro.
Yeah, does this mean we're semi-professional now?
I think they call that production value.
Ooh.
And as anyone can notice, we do have a slightly new site with a new banner with some beautiful artwork done by our very own fan slash listener. I'm not going to call him a fan.
I wouldn't call him a fan. Dude, like, look, we're sorry, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Aru, and we will have a link to his site and some of the artwork and comic books that he does, which is called
Exiles. And it is exiles.ca.
Yeah, definitely click through there. This is not a sponsorship.
No.
He scratched our back, and we scratched his.
Yes.
But in that not...
Not gay
Not
kind
sanguineous
of
type way of scratching backs.
Look, only because Sanguinius likes to do it with a loofah in the shower. That's just where it gets weird.
It's a blood loofah. A blood loofah, okay? I, of course, am drinking scotch. Wonderful scotch provided by Kyle, our guest host today.
Hey!
Hey, what are you drinking, Kyle?
I'm drinking Lucky Lager.
Lucky Lager!
Good enough for the Devil's Brigade, good enough for me.
I'll cheers to that shit right now. And, of course, Nathan is drinking Guinness.
Yes.
We're into the show. We're going to, try to keep it fun tonight. Nathan was trying to say, I got to hijack the show for 5 minutes, but I don't want to tell you what it's about.
All right. I've just got a couple things to say. One, Lang, it's about time you stop being a sissy. You're actually drinking again, and you're not drinking a chick drink with Maddie like last week. Because really, hypnotic. Come on. Maddie, that was come on.
The only scotch that I had in the house was $130 a bottle, and I just didn't feel like drinking it. I didn't have anything else in the house. So we went for the hypnotic, and I'm not going to disagree, because as you even can tell, I wasn't even remotely drunk by the end of that podcast. It was pathetic, and we drank an entire bottle of hypnotic between the two of us.
It was like the Canadians in Vegas, how we were just pounding back beers, and our American opponents were just like, these beers, they're strong.
They're too strong. Is this alcohol by volume? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, math and beer.
No, that actually didn't happen in my in my last game. Is I realized I had four empties and he'd gone through the neck of his first bottle and he was just like, "Oh my god, this beer is so strong." And I'm like, "Really? I'm not even feeling."
I was like, when I was down in Phoenix for my brother's birthday, man, spent $200 on alcohol, and alcohol there is cheap, and they were tapping out early in the night. Now I threw up. Okay, because I drank a lot. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not the type of guy who hides his pukage.
See, my body was just like, oh, it's podcast time. I got this.
What kind of podcast? It is a Warhammer podcast. Warhammer podcast. Yay. All right.
No, and then the other things I wanted to say was just a quick couple of points that I didn't get to throw in because I wasn't on the last episode. Mm. One, Maddie, build your wood elves like me. They'll walk all over Lang's lizards. There's really no way it can't happen. and
how
two.
How many times have you won against his wood elves?
In 8th edition.
Thanks for the backup, Kyle. Thank you.
You son of a... Well, I played Mike Frank last week, and I destroyed him. Like I said, every single other person that I've played, with the exception of Brian Duffels in 8th edition, I've walked over like it was nothing. With the exception of Nathan, for some weird fucking reason. He's not even that good. Apparently. Yeah. I don't know. Because you go off to tournaments and you're like 0-3.
Yeah.
Except for when you play me.
That's the truth. And the second thing that I really needed to point out is Lang, it's always about my Tyranids.
I know, it's always. I was actually going to say oh my god, everybody, Nathan finally listened to an episode of the podcast.
I posted that, Wednesday night?
That was Wednesday night, yeah.
It did take me a while to get around to it, but I was just like, God, I really should listen to this episode before we record the next one, so...
But we got some good stuff today, so let's get into Higher Learning, which today, since Higher Learning is still this kind of amorphous entity, it's going to be a bit of viewer mail, a bit of comedy, and hopefully we can get into a bit of strategy depending on what's going on, but this is from Jason Bent. He says... we need more Terry. Terry being Nathan's wife, who's been on the show multiple times. And by that I mean clones, he says. She sounds correct height for a human mate and can talk the toot about wargaming.
Listen, I will be the first to say that clones of my wife would just be a great idea.
That would be funny.
I mean, I don't think I'd share, but...
There's more games for me to win. He said, what's not to like? The Black Sun boys have the diesel and their enigmatic Fignerhead. I don't know what the Black Sun boys is. Does anyone? Is it a podcast?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't even listen to my own podcast.
I listen to a few other podcasts. Okay? I don't listen to all the 40K podcasts.
I'm not going to name names, but I've tried listening to a couple others, and again, I just usually get bored about like 45 minutes in when they're still, you know, stroking their own cocks, and you're just like, all right, look, I'm done listening to how awesome you are.
Because we never do that.
No, sir. We have the occasional sword.
We do have the occasional.
Hey, kissing cousins.
Okay, rules are when they touch, we make fart noises. Okay, he says, you guys can sell Terry-related items, such as Hello Kitty army cases, pink army dusters, and penny discount romance novels. Good for try. P.S. I would be happy taking a cut on any of these items should they prove fruitful. P.P.S. Wayne Gretzky was the techless of the NHL.
Of which I have to disagree. Because they did not rewrite the rules of Warhammer because of techless.
That is as true as it is, okay? If it was 40K, Wayne Gretzky's the God Emperor. That's about as far as they can't even make a model for him.
Yeah, I would buy that.
That's about as far as it goes. PPPS. Anybody PPPS? I mean, I just good for you, Jason. I'm guessing.
You know, Lake hasn't even had that much to drink
no.
yet.
I'm guessing that as I grew outside of Cowtown in Strathmore, you guys are based in E-Town. Oilers home base? Yes, that is correct. We are Oilers. Half of the podcast is. The better half of the podcast is that I'm sandwiched between two C-Towners at the moment.
Edmonton, huh?
There's really no tactics in this email. Unless we're talking about the tactics of Terry and boobs and being a girl who plays Tau.
Lol.
And how she gets us the sportsmanship votes. We had another email from...
like an actually serious one?
Oh, Gmail. But thank you for nothing.
Unable to reach Gmail.
It's because my network is turned off.
That was smart.
Shut up. You guys
it's
are dumb.
That input between the keyboard and the chair. That was the
it's
problem.
It's an ID10T error, okay? All right, but anyways, Higher Learning, last week we kind of talked about Horde Armies. Did you listen to that? Mm-hmm. Did you have anything you want to toss in on Horde Armies?
Not really. I mean, you kind of did it well. You touched on hoarding up with non-typical Horde Armies, like the sort of 100 Marine list and things like that. You know, you talked about it. So like I said, I really don't have much.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we did get another email from Daniel Carlson. Which is a great email. It is too long to read on the show. Daniel, send us in a little bit more of a truncated version with maybe a couple of questions.
Truncated means shorter.
Yeah. Even though it's a really long word, it can be confusing that way. But I do see that you did say slash end rant at the end.
Yes, I was going to make that comment too. That is incorrect.
Could you, if you're going to rant, then maybe, bullet points underneath? I mean, we're skimmers here.
When it comes to code, it's not slash end rant. Slash rant is ending the rant. That's how it works in code, okay? You can't say slash end rant. Slash is the end symbol for coding, for like HTML and things like that.
You know, I just stopped caring a few seconds. It's just like,
you guys shut the fuck up, okay?
I just stopped caring.
So wait a sec, what you're saying is...
This is going nowhere fast. But anyways, send it in again with a couple of questions because it's too long to read. So Higher Learning this week is maybe just a bit shorter than it needs to be. Kyle, did you listen to last week's about Hordes for 40K and Fantasy?
No.
Oh, you are a useless piece of shit.
I was too busy losing my job. I'm sorry.
blame it on the economy.
Drink!
I can't listen to podcasts because I don't have a job. on my scotch glass. I'm going to just go ahead and apologize for the unprofessional nature of this podcast so far. I hope people are enjoying.
Listen, you add in intro music and we have to detract elsewhere in the podcast.
I guess that's also very true. It is about
balance.
We sound
pro-tour. It's cosmic. We're given lots of dead air, so that way...
maybe heavy breathing.
It balances out. Anyways,
it's not a gaming podcast without heavy breathing close to the mic. Okay, so let's get into the main topic, and we'll kind of see where we go from there. Obviously, there's been a lot of rumors with regards to 6th edition Warhammer 40,000. And the rumors are actually very, very interesting. And the more that we see these rumors starting to break down, we kind of more start to see the direction that Games Workshop is taking the game. Now, I feel like it's a good direction. I feel like Warhammer 40,000 does need more complexity, so I like the idea that they're trying to add to the game as opposed to streamline it, because they just kept cutting off between the various editions and streamlining to the point where you compare it to something like Warhammer Fantasy, and it's just this oversimplified game. Like, there's that gag that you always see on Warhammer 40,000 forums where people bitch about Fantasy, and they just make comparisons to 40K where they're just like, oh, random movement, that's crazy. Everyone should have sixes and multiples of sixes for movement. The magic phase, that's just a waste of time. You should just make all magic abilities a leadership test every time you need to cast it, and just put it in the shooting phase.
Well, you know, I've been calling it, up until these rumors came up, I was calling it that they're getting rid of the leadership stat.
That would be
because
interesting.
Because they don't want guys to run away anymore. It gets six-year-olds mad when their stuff doesn't work like it does in the movies. Like, I'm serious.
Psychology has
like
been
everyone...
such a moot point in Warhammer 40,000 for, what, two editions?
Yeah, third edition, I think, was the last time where leadership was quasi in the game.
Right.
Well, you know why? Because trained soldiers never run away. Like that's they're always like, oh, no, they're not going to run away. They're trained soldiers. They've been fighting all this time. It's like, yeah, but I don't think you've watched enough war documentaries where guys just book it because at the end of the day that's the smart thing to do, or
right
because
exactly.
After you're the last man standing, you're kind of like, you know what, I want to live to fight another day. I'm not crying home to mommy. I'm getting
back
here.
Home.
I mean, rules wise it just came down to the point where every other army in Warhammer 40,000, actually it was more than half of the armies in Warhammer 40,000 were either they shall know no fear, or they were fearless, or they were just like leadership 10.
Do you remember when it was Tyranids and Chaos?
That was the end of it.
And Marines had And They Shall Know No Fear, but then, you know.
And it only kind of worked.
Yeah.
It was only kind of like fearless. Now it's just like, oh, they're fearless when they're not fearless, but then they're still fearless.
But we actually get to move a little bit faster.
Right, exactly,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. And They Shall Know
No Fear. I'm
scared,
but my legs are angry.
Eyes are saying no, your legs are saying yes.
Okay, but... But in that respect, kind of as we're talking about here, they are trying to give the game a little bit more complexity. They're trying to add to it. I mean, listen, if I'm looking at 8th edition and the complexity that they added to 8th edition and the things that they did for it in terms of, like, it was a huge shift in the way that the game was played, where the fundamentals were still the same, but it was a very, very different game, and armies changed a lot, and the way that you had to play armies changed a lot. And I mean, you definitely experienced this in the games that we played with your Empire, where before your Empire were very content to kind of sit and wait and kind of react to charges and things of that nature. Whereas
in the games
that I play, I, you know, after the games were over, I was trying to explain to you, like, you let me pick my fights, and that was your downfall. Like, you needed to be more aggressive. It was just such a foreign concept for Empire to be aggressive. You know,
yes.
And like, I'm hoping to see that kind of stuff in Warhammer 40,000.
I think the company's actually trying to distance themselves from Alessio Caviator. That's what I think.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because I mean, he's doing that
Kings of War.
Thank you. Was it Warlord Games?
Couldn't tell you.
Anyways, and that's the big complaint. A lot of guys on the internet are like, "Oh, it's too simple." And his big thing is like, "Oh, it's great because I have almost no rules, but there's all this subtle blah blah blah."
Right.
I mean, that is the nice thing about Lord of the Rings. I mean, he's big behind that, and I know you guys hate it, but at the end of the day, that was the neat thing about the game was.
It's a good thing Kyle wasn't there in Vegas, because I think our group, we were sitting next to the Lord of the Rings players.
I was
going to
say,
derogatory.
Hate is not strong
all
enough a word.
All 20 of them. Actually, no, there was less.
No.
All 16 of them at the,
you know, the
Grand
granted,
tournament.
I never played War of the Ring, but...
No, the only point I'm making is, in that game, instead of inventing rules, they kind of made it so that when you did stuff, suddenly you realize the rules sort of kicked in and did stuff for you, as opposed to saying,
thank you.
You guys are new, it gives you all these benefits, and in a being, there's benefits you got for making you guys stick together. That's the only point I'm really making. He loved that kind of stuff. He had a raging hard-on for that kind of stuff. That's what he talks about in his new one. And Alessio Caviator was the guy in charge of all the games for a few years. So that's the point. That's the only point I'm really making is I think they're really trying to get
away from
him.
And I do think that is a valid one, because you did see his design philosophy as the editions progressed.
Well, look at the Chaos Codex.
Let's go back to Gretzky here, right? Gretzky's big motto was just, you know, don't go where the puck is, go where the puck is going, right?
Yeah.
And I think that looking at the landscape of Warhammer 40,000 and Warhammer and the tournament scene and how it is beginning to dominate this core group of players at the age that they are now, and as you've said in the past, how Games Workshop has pretty much just abandoned the idea of building their player base.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to bleed dry the people who are addicted to it like me. It makes sense to advance the game in a direction that makes it more complicated, more strategic, and allows people to not... I mean, it avoids the type of situations where we talk about like net lists and this community intellect of building armies where people want to go to a tournament, and so instead of building their own list, they go online to see what that tournament list is.
Talked
about the time that you were on the show, which was really big about the metagame. The metagame was enormous in Warhammer 40,000. It was all about like, what are they taking? So you should take the opposite of that. I think that with a more complicated game, we're going to be avoiding those types of situations in 6th edition.
As soon as you put lots of different factors in there, then the metagame is
exactly.
Sort of, that's what it is with tournaments. We put too many variables in there.
Right.
So you can meta
right.
the crap out of it, but it doesn't matter because there's so many different variables
yep.
that you can't. It's not as cut and dry as all the guys in Battle of Lost Souls would have you believe.
Yes, and that's the truth.
My only worry is they're going to complicate it for complication's sake.
I don't know if they're going to go that far, because I mean...
Ah, but they're dumb enough.
No, but you made a good point earlier about that every other page is a picture and every other page is
yeah.
the written rules.
Well, no, I mean, that's what one of the rumors is on the redesign.
The newer
However,
rumors.
One of the rules, big rule stumps and sort of things that I want to talk about, though, is exactly what Kyle said, where it seems like they're making it complicated for the sake of being complicated, because apparently... and granted, rumors, right? You know, rumors.
No, I don't for a second buy the idea that this is like, oh, it's rumors. It doesn't fucking mean anything. Listen,
no.
Games Workshop
all I'm saying is
leaks
that
shit on purpose.
They
and they
do.
Say they want to tighten it down
do.
And they want to be so hardcore about tightening that shit down. But, I mean, I've known people in the upper echelons of Games Workshop, and they are told, hey, leak this for us. Leak this.
Yeah.
Get people excited about it.
Listen.
Get people talking about it. Get the idiots on the podcast talking about it.
I do totally understand that. My point being,
shit.
We're suckers.
Damn it. Well, that's Jada
so,
Gamercast for this week.
Cheers to that shit right there. Suckers all around.
That's right. But, no, the point that I was making, though, is... It is still subject to change, because we all remember the trial
Obviously.
Assault rules,
yes.
right? Remember the third to fourth
the
edition
three
thing?
The trial assault rules?
Well, yeah, because it was just like, you know,
that's
right.
why I don't know how to play fifth edition, right? Because I've
and that's why the Sisters of Battle Codex and the White Dwarf is going to suck ass.
Yeah,
because
you.
Every single one of those,
we're all gonna have to
with
learn,
the exception of Rhinox Riders.
And then unlearn, and then learn. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, how many, when we were working at Workshop... Three rule sets for
yeah.
assault.
No, but again, that's my point, is every now and then Games Workshop leaks something. They're like, yeah, we got it. This is a masterpiece. And they're like, fuck, this is stupid. And they try to do rewrites. And being
well,
a year out...
that's when they fire someone.
That's when they fire someone.
It's like the post office. Oh, that guy's gone now. His idea was stupid.
Nathan.
We'll go back to the idea before his idea, because that one we realize is genius.
Can you blame me for not trusting the White Dwarf?
That is not. Hey, listen, the White Dwarf is a piece of shit. But, no, but I mean, that's the other thing to keep in mind, though. And that's the only reason I put the caveat is we are still a year away, because we know Storm of Magic is this summer. Games
yes.
Workshop only releases rules in the summertime. So we're
yes.
basically looking at
Unless
a year
Unless they're being
out.
Cunning this time and coming out with it for the next 3 months.
They're not cunning. See, I thought you were going to go with the cunning linguist. You know, cunning linguist.
Oh, right, right.
I was trying
Either
to work
way,
towards
pussies.
Yeah, strategery, but...
anyway.
I apologize again for everyone listening to the podcast today.
Wow.
There's something about this...
Okay, Nathan.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the point that I've been trying to make... is when you read the rules, apparently all of these universal special rules are going to have different levels that override other levels. So, for example,
that
if
was
I,
what I found
you know,
strange.
Yeah,
well.
So I mean, if I do instant death at level 1, I can't instant death Eternal Warrior level 2 because he's just too eternal or too warrior-y for my
that
instant
makes perfect
death
sense.
Rule.
I mean, the Emperor, he's like level 5, right?
So. I like it.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think it depends on how they present it. I mean, the way it's presented in the rumors, you just look and you're like, oh, this is.
I think all of the things
Full
that
on,
people
grade
are
grade 6, you know,
no,
right.
I mean the
grade
problem
6
is,
playground
is
game.
When you look at the rumors, they're doing it
it's
with
War
everything.
Machine
Lance 1 2 3
Yo, War you, mean, you mean Dark Elves? Dark Eldar? What are those warjacks that the Dark Eldar have now?
I don't know. What
you're
Oh, the Talos and the Kronos.
Man, when we saw those, we thought those were sexy warjacks. Like, oh, wait a second. This is a black box from Workshop. Oh crap.
Everybody at War Machine screams off the side, "Bullshit!" And then that's the end of it.
Hey, listen. If Games Workshop is losing market share, just rip them off. And, you know, are you going to beat their high-priced lawyers?
Well, okay, all right.
The problem is, as I see it being applied, every single special rule has different levels. So, I mean, in the rumor dump, they're like, well, you're going to have Lance 1, 2, 3, which will treat armor as 13, 12, 11. And you're going to have Eternal Warrior 1, 2, 3, which means, you know, and Feel No Pain 1, 2, 3, which is
like,
a
again,
6
where
plus
I go,
plus
it's how they present it in the rule book that will make it feel whether it's super complicated or it actually is logical.
I honestly think that people are freaking out over nothing. I think that we get these rumors as bits and pieces, mm-hmm. and it's concepts is what we're getting in terms of rumors. And that's what Games Workshop wants to have out on the forums, are concepts of the things that they're working on. I think that the way that they present it is going to make a lot more sense. And we saw this with the 8th edition Fantasy recently, where when the rumors came out, almost all of the rumors were true, but people were freaking out over the idea of these
Beastmen
rumors.
And then Beastmen stopped sucking.
No.
Well, not according to Warseer and fucking Bell of Lost Souls, man. They're bottom tier. You get an extra 200 points according to the ETC, motherfuckers.
Oh, ETC. But that is a teat we will milk on this show as long as we can.
It is the foundation of this show, is that kind of stupidity.
That is the truth. No, but I mean, you know, I do hear you. It does come down to how well it is presented. But at the same time, why would you start making tiers of special rules rather than just straight up saying this trumps this? You know, like, why wouldn't you, you know, do it?
Because that's what Alessio would do.
That's bullshit. No. Honestly, I like the idea of things trumping other special rules.
I'm not disagreeing with either. I think it just comes down to how they present it. It's either going to feel like it all kind of makes sense, or else it's going
to
be.
But that's the only way to
jumbled, and then 7th edition will fix it.
Well, oh my god!
Games Workshop is thinking 2 editions.
You blew me away.
Come on, I mean, look at what's one Marine Codex every other.
Let's not get into that shit.
Have you even heard the rumors?
Slow down. My theory is...
Slow down, Nathan!
God damn it!
Slow the fuck down!
It is always about my tier, and it's like... Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Christ!
My theory is they did that to basically bankroll Finecast. That's my theory.
I agree.
Everyone's mad about it, and they're like, you know, oh, this sucks, it's not. It's like, no, they wanted money they could rely on to bankroll Finecast. So they could then raise the prices.
Going back to the idea of things trumping other special rules, is I like that because it's the only way that they can really make the rules more complicated with still keeping some sort of streamlined element to the rules, right? I mean, the idea that, like, flaming negates, you know... I apologize that I keep going back to fantasy for all those people who don't play both gaming systems, but... There are rules in Warhammer Fantasy that negate other rules. Those rules don't exist anymore.
And that's exactly what I was kind of looking for.
It's a check and balance.
Yes, absolutely. You know, flaming cancels out regeneration, but saying that I have instant kill, but you have eternal warrior, but I can cancel out your rule if I'm instant death higher, but if you're too high on... Like, that to me just feels forced, you know, because rather than thinking up actual mechanics that are going to... You know that are well. It just seems like they're half-assing it because, like I said, rather than thinking up actual, actual mechanics, they're just like, but if we just put levels on, we're geniuses to the bar.
But that's what
you're
I'm saying.
You're not fired.
But that's what I'm saying about this being all concept right now. What we're getting is the concept of levels and stuff. I have no doubt the mechanics are coming. I mean, look at the charts that we have in Warhammer 40,000 right now with vehicles and ballistic skill and strength and all that kind of stuff. Armor saves. It's not anything that much more complex than what we have for, you know, again, Warhammer Fantasy or other gaming systems. With, you know, not even Games Workshop gaming systems, but, you know, other types of gaming systems. I do like the idea. I like where it's going. The problem is... the dribble of information that we get right now.
This drool that's coming down
off of Games Workshop's chin.
For me, I think...
And yes, that is a comment about their CEO. But it's...
Does he have a salacious crumb? Is that what you're saying? All right.
Hey, no job and no bother. Okay, no, listen. Like, I think that that's where it's going to come together. Because you and I have said on many occasions, Nathan, that you and I love the game designers. We think that the designers are brilliant people who work very, very hard to make a good game.
And
the
Robin
CEO... The CEO... This is not about your Tyranids.
It is always about my Tyranids.
The CEOs... And the governing body of people who are part of Games Workshop are what starts to tear these things down. It's their agendas of like sales as opposed to actual gameplay.
They remain a model manufacturer, not a game making company.
Fuck you! That one quote has ruined Games Workshop because every time anybody wants to go back on the Games Workshop teat, all they have to do is quote that bit where they're just like, "Well, they're a model manufacturer. Their rules are."
Whatever,
you know, it's just they.
Whatever.
You know, they're all about the models, guys. The models.
Yeah. Well, clearly, Mark Wells needs a media trainer.
Jeez,
especially after his open letter to everyone should suck it up because you're all leeches. Fantastic stuff, Mark.
I think you just need to say that we were all addicts, because I agreed with that part.
Yes, yes.
Like I said in my post, where I was just like, I can't just quit. Like, you guys understand that I can't just quit, right? Like, they'll keep raising the prices, but I can't just quit. Like, I'll complain about it. Anyways.
The bank on. Anyways.
Nathan, you got a little bit derailed there.
Hey, no, it's true.
Really?
No, I mean, you know, I think we're definitely going to have to wait and see on the special rules and shit like that. But I really, what I want to talk about, you kind of started mentioning it, is to hit charts and things like that. Because, again, going back to those rumors, there are going to be changes to the two hit charts, which or all the charts, which I love. The most obvious one is this one that Fantasy did, where Six Will Wound Anything.
Yes.
About time. Fuck you, Wraith Lords. Oh, that's what that rule is called.
That needed to be in the game. I'm sorry. Yes. It needed to be in the game.
Oh, your Wraith Lord charged my unit and I only have a power weapon? Well, looks like you're just going to kill 10 Marines eventually.
Well, no.
I can't hurt you.
But that's why 40K was the game of spam. It was just like, oh, pick the thing that 90% of his army can't deal with and get as many of those on the table as
like
you can.
Like Dreadnoughts, Maddie.
Yeah, well, Matt's
but anyway, aside from that, though, rumor has it that for, the weapon skill chart's going to stay the same, but for shooting, they're actually going to be taking into account movement. So
yes,
how much
that.
did the unit move and things
was
like
interesting.
That? I really do think that that's interesting, because no longer is 40K going to be the game of static gun lines, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't just take Long Fang spam against a Dark Eldar army and laugh your way to the bank.
But Space Wolves were born to shoot.
That's right.
From far away.
Oh,
look,
God.
Everyone knows that Leman Russ himself
picked up a heavy bolt alert and fought from the rear.
That's right. Lead from behind.
You got that from Sanguinius.
With a gun.
good on that.
That's
where I come down to. I think it comes down to presentation. Because I think because that rule seems, the way it's mentioned in the rumors, as clunky as, like, you just read it, you're like, I'm kind of half picking what you're putting down, and it sounds kind of...
Well, what you picture is going back and forth. 6 inches, 6 inches, 6 inches, six
not
inches.
Even that.
You know
it's,
what I mean?
It's just sort of, the way it's explained in the rumors is kind of half...
It's all concept, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm willing to wait for a rule book before I pass judgment.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying this is the end of the hobby as we know it. It sounds to me like they're trying to put a little bit of fantasy into 40K because they know fantasy is a better rule set.
Yes.
Well, I think Paul actually said it very good on our Facebook page in one of the discussions that we were having about the rumored rules, where he was saying, like, 40K is already hemorrhaging players. I mean, I personally know 5 people who are diehard 40K players for almost 10 years.
Interesting conversation.
Who have now absolutely dropped Warhammer 40,000 and are building their fantasy armies because all they hear is how great fantasy is.
Hey,
interesting conversation I had with one of the guys at Shop Soul, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I've invested so much money in 40K, I can't leave, but everyone I'm playing now is a lot younger. They're coming in for the first time.
Yeah.
And everyone that's kind of, he didn't say his age, but basically anyone who's got a few years under their belt, he's like, they're playing fantasy, they're playing War Machine, or they're playing Flames of War.
Right.
None of them want 40K.
Yeah.
And I think
Workshop's
going to gonna have to work really, really hard to...
After playing a Throne of Skulls, we went down there with a group of 7 to Vegas. 6 were playing 40K. 2 of them never want to play 40K ever again. Because they had such an awful tournament experience playing young, sort of douchey, win-at-all-cost people, and they're just like, you know what? The game system is good. I might play friendly games, or I might play,
But that's what 40K has been
like
for the past
but,
3 years.
But they're absolutely done ever playing in competitive 40K because it's bullshit, and they did
it
not have
bullshit.
Fun. So, I mean, whereas me, I on my fantasy side, I had 4 games out of 5 that were up, that all were up for my best vote. For funnest game
it's
I had.
Very entertaining games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have not had a bad game of fantasy.
And even then, one of the guys that's completely quit 40K, he was always going to my tables because for some reason I was taking like almost the 2 hours per game, but I played 3 Skaven armies. So, fucking Skaven. Fuck you, Skaven players.
God bless you, Skaven players.
But anyway,
everybody hates you, but you still play Skaven.
Skaven were the number 1 army at Throne of Skulls on the
fantasy
side. No one had better representation.
Well,
but anyway.
Do they have a weakness?
No.
They do.
Sometimes
really? What is it?
Sometimes they don't win quickly? Is that
yes,
a weakness?
Yes, that is exactly it. Sometimes it takes them 45 minutes to win a game.
No, it's still artillery.
But, he always went and watched my games and said, you look like you're having a blast and I haven't had a fun game yet. And this was at the end of the day one.
That's
so
the
he'd have 3 40K
That is the
games.
Culture of 40K. It's cutthroat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, I definitely agree. 40K is hemorrhaging players. I wonder if this is going to be a step in the right direction. But to me, it feels like these rules are so complicated that it's almost like they're trying to shove the hangers-on off the bus. Like, it's just like, well, you couldn't be bothered to really learn 5th edition. All you know is how to take this net list and roll dice. So now let's throw you under the bus.
No, yeah. I don't. I disagree there. I think what this is really about is pulling back the veteran players, pulling back the people who have fallen off, the people who are going to build the hobby and run tournaments and show up to tournaments and drive these long distances to be involved in the community. I think that that's what is going to bring back. And I'm saying from personal feelings about this, that's what I want for 40K.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want, as a veteran player, as a person who has these different armies and wants to build them up and wants to get back into the game, I love the idea of it being more complicated because that's what draws me back in. And I know a lot of other 40K players. Now,
the workshop from the top down does not believe the community is their responsibility.
That's a whole other podcast.
No, but that's what I mean. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, I want to believe that they're going, you know, if we get some veteran guys in there, then they'll mentor people and, you know, everything will be good again. It'll be like back in the 90s where...
Okay, I agree. I'm giving them too much credit.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's kind of where I'm going. For me,
but I do believe that 40K has got the stronger backstory. I don't want to say IP because that just makes me sound like
the fluff.
The backstory and everything with it is way stronger than fantasy.
100%.
And every time you read any of their stuff, you're like, my God, I got to play this game. And every time you start playing the game and you're like, oh, you described your army as a parking lot. You know, I don't think... I don't want to
Where
be
was
here.
That in God's Ghosts?
Dan Abnett makes Lasgun seem deadly. Then you play 40K and you're like, Lasgun can't kill shit.
I think the Lasguns are okay.
I mean,
great.
I'd rather have 5 bolters, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know what they're thinking with 6th edition. I definitely think that moving into... more complicated is a move in the right direction because at the end of the day, 5th edition lacks strategy anymore. It's all about coming up with sort of play styles. You know, when I take a parking lot, I know that in a 5 objective game, I need to take 2 or 3 if I have enough troops and tank shock the shit out of you off of your 2 objectives, and I win.
Well,
period.
It's this play style. Now that's going on that led me to go, you know what, they're getting rid of leadership because... they're just getting dumber and dumber. Like, nobody likes variable anything. What do you mean my guys run away?
Well, no.
They should fix that.
And that's the biggest thing about
40K. How much money did I spend for my guys to run away? I'm going to go play War Machine.
Guess you should have played Grey Knights, bitch.
But that's been the biggest thing with Warhammer 40,000 for the past few years, which has been, it's so oversimplified that the game actually becomes boring in the sense that you can, at the end of every single game, walk back into it and say, like, it was that one dice roll. It was those 2 dice rolls. I had one round of shooting where my 12 melts only did 2 damage.
Working at a store where we're running, we're running 40K every Thursday.
Shut up, you hobo. No, I don't have any change.
Have a can of beans. Got a fire by the railroad tracks. It's just calling for a can of beans.
You're the homeless fire wizard from the Empire Army.
But
cast fireball for a ham sandwich.
It's been really interesting the last year as I've been watching guys getting more and more bored of 40K.
Yep.
And they're showing
That's
up. And it's the same guys showing up. And it's not like I'm talking tournament guys. It's like regular guys who just show up for pickup
Gamers.
Games. And that's all they are. They just show up for pickup games. Mm. And they're bored of the game. They know by turn 2 who's won.
Right.
But they play through anyways because, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, go home?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the one thing with my Tyranids is as I found that regardless of who I was playing against, regardless of what army they had, I was doing the exact same things. I was deploying in the same way. I was coming out the same ways. You know, I was sort of, you know, always sort of slamming one flank with all my big monsters. And it was just like rinse and repeat. And either your target priority was top notch and you'd win, or you'd make a mistake in that first shooting phase I gave you. And
your dice fucked you. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what 40K became because it became a list-building game. There stopped being actual strategy or tactics on the table because if my list was vastly better than your list, it didn't matter what I did. You couldn't win that game.
Yeah. No,
or
absolutely.
If you were in that 10% of lists that were able to counter that,
yes,
you might be able to come out on top. You know, when we talked about leaf blowers and stuff like that, where it's just like, but 10% of the list demolished that. You know, and that was always been the problem with Warhammer 40,000. Okay, but we are kind of getting on into the show. What was the next thing that you wanted to go into for the Warhammer 40,000 rumors, Nathan?
convoluted movement, actually, because if
okay,
anyone's
gone
read
this
and read it, okay, so you should go find it while I'm talking. But because basically, first the plus, not everything is 6 inches anymore. They're actually changing it. They can do
it's more past that. Okay, keep going.
There's more
return
than
return fire. Berg.
But anyway, there's more than just 6 inches and multiples of six. So, I mean, you've got 6-inch move, 8-inch move, 10-inch move, you know, ignore terrain, things like that, which I like. I do like that. I think that's very, very interesting. But then I find, yes, the game really needs it.
It needs it.
Or it needed pre-measuring, so it never became, you thought you could charge, but you're 6 1/4 inches are out,
they,
and I'm just going to rapid fire.
Are they not doing pre-measuring?
They better, because pre-measuring at this point is a fucking staple of war, any
tabletop wargaming, yes.
But anyway.
We're past the days of guessing anything.
Then it starts,
you know, that's
to
I'm,
get...
I'm going for my carpentry ticket, right? Just so I can win some.
Just you
can
win some.
Yes!
My artillery never fail.
God, that's so 7th edition.
It is.
Awesome.
Son of a bitch.
But no, and then it kind of starts getting weird because, you know, then you can choose to march, or you can march really fast, but you have to pass
flat out.
Yeah, but like infantry can like run flat out, or you can move, you can march and still do some things based on like, to me, it starts just getting into that sort of realm of confusing, because what I'm looking at is
confusing
not,
or convoluted?
Both a little bit, because I mean,
it's convolutedness confuses me.
Ooh,
I don't follow.
Because what I'm really thinking about.
Go get more beer.
Yay!
Or do you want a Guinness?
I'll have a Guinness.
All right, have a Guinness.
Yay!
We got more Guinness.
But really, what I'm looking at is not from my perspective, because I have no doubt that I can read through the rule book 3-4 times on my way to work. I can get a good 20-30 games before I go to a tournament, and I'll have the rule system down. But for me, I'm looking at it from the perspective of that poor sod who's the young kid who has his barely painted starter set plus army in there. He isn't going to have a fucking clue what to do with movement. And when I start, you know, passing my initiative tests or failing if I'm using Carnifexes, another reason why they're crap. You have to pass an initiative test to do more
Jesus,
than lumber forward?
Dude. Three,
I'm initiative
three
one.
Three times in an episode. You can't get away from your goddamn Tyranids.
I cannot ever. It's always about my Tyranids.
I know.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like, these people that don't have a firm grasp of the rules aren't going to have a fucking clue what's going on. They're not going to understand how to march, why I can march like this, why these guys are going like 40 inches, why these guys are doing
but
this.
I don't agree that you're talking about that as a detriment. For a gamer like me who's going to go into a tournament, I don't want to play kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play people who haven't read the rule and don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, you're going to play
fantasy? I don't. No, bullshit. That's why I play fantasy. The majority of fantasy players are not young kids who have not read the rules and don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think the youngest guy I played was 20.
That's why 40K is populated by 12-year-olds.
Amen. No, but okay, you know what, that is fair, but I mean, maybe I, you know, like the special rules, I really need to see them presented in the rule book, because when I was looking at that thing where they're like, well, Fleet 1 is these unit types, and they can do this if they pass an initiative test, but if you're this unit types, you don't have to pass that initiative test, but if you do this and you pass a test here, then you can
right.
do that. That, to me, is where it's just like, you know, so what the fuck can my jump infantry do?
So I,
like,
so
I'm just, like, looking
like,
at that,
well,
and I'm
like
just
I
like,
said,
what the fuck? Yeah, yeah, like, can you draw this on a fucking
some
diagram?
Some sort of tree diagram.
That comes down to how they present it?
Yes.
You need Microsoft Visio to play Warhammer
40,000. It's either going to be...
In the 41st millennium, there are only physicists and mathematicians, because...
it's
know,
either going
to
be strangely
straightforward,
or else it's going to be complication for complication's
yes.
sake.
I think
we're
that they're balancing.
And we're going to have to wait to
well,
see
yeah,
the rules.
I think
so
we're
going to
see the, like I said before, I think that it's going to be those trumping rules where you just say like, oh, but when this happens, boop, you're here to here. And that's going to be 60% of the time. And
yeah.
especially since we know that they're going to focus the rules around Space Marines, that I think that Space Marines are going to have a lot of abilities that are going to trump the majority of special rules, so that the majority of games are going to be relatively straightforward.
Well, I mean, Games Workshop.
You mean
is...
like Marines win, but doesn't that happen already?
Yes. Well, and I mean,
well, we all know
see,
that's not going to change.
What I just find funny though is going off on the Marine tangent though is have you also read the rules of the change in the narrative focus as well as the first book coming out?
The narrative.
No. But I mean,
I haven't read the new
because,
bit.
Okay, basically what they've done is in my opinion they've milked the Imperium Marine teat dry, because
yes.
after Necrons they're doing Black Templars. And then, yay, more Marines! Because
why? Because we hate witches.
Back to back.
They hate witches.
Yes.
Why the
But anyway. Because Finecast hasn't paid for itself yet. That's seriously. Right. That's what it is.
But no, but then apparently in 6th edition, the narrative
just
focus
not many
is changing.
People playing Black Templars.
Look, those six people deserve a new book.
Like, it's the easiest Space Marine army in the game to paint, but even the people who paint Black Templars don't play them. They repaint them.
Yes.
When was the last time you played a Black Templars army?
Third edition? 5 years ago. Third edition?
Would be what I would have to say was 5 years ago was the last time I played
Black
Templars.
I know the last time I saw Black Templars playing. Didn't we see them at our tournament and then we saw them the...
Yeah, I mean...
And we also saw them
there's
at...
There's one or two... I mean, but...
The Black Crusade.
But even then, our tournament was mostly because the FAQ came out and gave them normal Codex Marine war.
Yeah, that was
and
the...
And that kind of... Crusade was pre-FAQ.
That is the truth.
And we had two of them there, didn't we?
Just the one. But yeah, he was
whatever.
The but no,
no
I mean,
we
all right,
it's
listen.
Like, one of the 15 people was a Black Templars player.
There's usually like
if you extrapolate that onto the internet, do you know how many Black Templar players that is?
Millions. But I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. Games Workshop is continuing the Imperial Marines thing for 5th edition ad nauseum. So with 6th edition, apparently the narrative focus of the rulebook itself and all of the fluff in it is changing away from the Imperium perspective of the fight against Chaos and moving to the Chaos perspective as trying to make war against the, you know, the False Emperor and things like that, which I think is neat.
That's edgy.
Oh my god.
Well, I think that it's
that's
neat.
Like eyeliner and like
that's like extreme
emo
without
music.
The E.
Oh, I think that it's neat right up until you come to the fact that the actual scenarios are going to be ridiculously stupid to fit that narrative.
But, even funnier, apparently first book out of the 6th edition gate, Codex Chaos Legions. Because now they have
Now
they have to start releasing multiple Chaos Marine armies
because
they've milked the Marines. Because you can't justifiably release Space Wolves 2 years, you know, when they're years old. So
did you read the other bit where they're talking about how Chaos Space Marines is going to be Renegade Space Marines?
Yes. Chaos Renegade.
And then there's Chaos Legions?
Oh, yeah, no, because basically this gives them, and they said it was going to be three different launches for different legions, so basically they're milking the Chaos Marine, because Games Workshop is so addicted to Marines, and this is what we were talking about earlier, where it's not the studio anymore. The studio has no say, because I'll guarantee the studio is fucking sick of releasing Space Marine armies, because that's all that they are doing. So, I mean, you know, it's obviously the C. It's obviously
like
Mark Wells saying, you know what sells? Space Marines. I want you to release a Space Marine every last fucking army,
They know what they can sell. It's not just, hey, Space Marines sell. It's like, no, if we do Marines, we invest. Why are there Nightmare on Elm Street movies? Why do they keep coming out? Because I know if they invest $7 million... It'll gross $30
million.
There's
a new Final Destination coming out.
Well, and that's all. That's why they do it. You know, it's not that they want big money. They just want reliable money. If I can triple my money every time,
but see,
I will do it every time.
There is a whole podcast between parallels between the horror movie industry and Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But I mean, it's like
the virgin dies first, like Sanguine.
Yes.
Marines
touched a man.
You know how Marines plug into their armor, right? They're not virgins.
No. Is that what the gene seed is?
Yes. Yes, it is. Awesome.
Oh, subtext.
I didn't know that interface was so deep.
Oh. Hey, yo. No.
I'm going to start referring to all the Blood Angels' gems as their cervix.
Matt,
the one in the middle
you
of
need
their
to
chest.
Paint them as so.
Do it, Matt.
Do it.
You know, tampons also have wings. Let's move on to the we were talking about something.
We were talking about movement. And so, I mean, again, I think, like special rules, it's going to come down to
the biggest
how
thing
well
the
it's presented. How complex is it? You know, because when it's just like, well, you know, if you do fleet one, it's this. If you do fleet two, it's this.
Yeah.
You know, you need to pass an initiative test to do either. But
right.
If you're this type, then you auto pass this one. But you have to roll for this one. Like, for me, again, just reading it, I was lost reading it.
Well,
as
that's kind of what I got from
when
I read the short version that Blood of Kittens threw out there.
Yeah.
I got lost in that. I was just like, you know what? I kind of don't care. I want to read an actual rule book instead of...
Yes.
I think the frustrating thing for me with regards to movement is the fact that they are moving away from what really has been, as far as I'm concerned, the effect of random charge ranges and random movement. Now, I know that there is a bit of random movement as part of the game. Now, how does that work, Nathan?
Have you read that part?
Did you read that part, or am I going to read it right now? Random movement.
Sure.
Roll d6, 1 to 2 units, infantry.
That just feels to me like they read it at, like, one page of the book, and they're like, "And just so you know, there's random movement, here's what it does." And
it was something, like, they actually give it context.
Like,
is
that the movement for a chaos spawn? Like, you know what I mean?
That's what I thought when I read it, but I know that, like, two pages further from this, there's mention of how a special rule counter, like, cancels out a movement type and thus gives you random movement. I can't remember it off the top.
I'm talking more about, like, random charge ranges. The idea of, like, you can't carpenter your way to a win.
Yes.
And know for sure that you're always going to be in this situation where, like, you
well,
say...
Well, however...
I'm going to put on a t-shirt.
Hey.
Yeah.
You can't carpenter your way to this win.
What I find most interesting, and I think there's going to be changes.
There's another cervix jokes in there somewhere. I don't know where. I've been drinking. Yeah. Sorry, Nathan.
Hey-o. But I was going to say, one of the rumors that actually happened in that first stump that I do find interesting, though, is the rearranging of the turn sequence. Because apparently it's going to go move, assault, then shooting, then, like, reactions or something. But see, for me...
makes me very curious.
Yes, like I'm very curious as well. Because there's got to be some sort of limitations, you know, like, because, I mean, just thinking of it off the top of my head, if we're making wild assumptions, which is how Jada Gamer cast rolls, you know, what's to say that I'm not going to take my Eldar jet bikes to run in and die horribly because they're jet bikes, but for the sake of argument, they beat those five scouts.
Well, they are guardians.
They are guardians. For argument's sake, they kill those five
scouts.
Born
to die.
If you will. And then in the shooting phase, you know, consolidating and in the shooting phase, shooting and then reacting by falling back. Like, to me, it just seems that some of those really, really fast unit types are going to have such a huge edge. Like, I think you're going to see fast attack, which, come in more. Because, I mean, if bikes are able to actually do that, is zip into combat, kill something, you know, consolidate out, shoot, and then fall back. You know,
not to derail you so much too badly. Did you ever see on eBay how there's some Russian company or Russian person who's doing fake casts of... Remember how there's that Eldar jet bike prototype?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's some Russian person on eBay selling those.
Oh, hey.
I was very tempted.
Hey, Games Workshop. This is what you get for cock-teasing people with a model like 6 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because, you know, after the Dark Eldar jet bikes came out, I looked at it and I was like, you know, this is the one that Jess was talking about where he said, we made both Eldar and Dark Eldar, then we shelved the Eldar and said, let's wait for it. Because you can see the chassis is the same. There's
very similar. Yeah, very similar.
So anyway, sorry. But jet bikes and movement. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah. But no, so I mean, you know, I think it, depending on the limitations there of if a unit assaults, they can't shoot. I mean, then obviously I think fast attack is going to stay in the doldrums where it is
but
now.
But it needs to happen in Warhammer 40,000.
I like, wonder that's if it's like Flames of War.
Takes the game back to a level of complexity where it's not just this ridiculous logical conclusion of, well, you know, Terminators and Land Raider move faster in one turn than a jet bike. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Marines who fall back get kind of close, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I think that they move away from that idea of this kind of broken logical movement sequence. But again, obviously, these are like all rumors. These are all concepts.
For me,
I think that these are perfectly true concepts, honestly.
No,
there's
like I said,
too much information for it to be just odd rumors.
Like, I think there's going to be tweaks. And it's all very believable. There's nothing you read and you're just like Fantasyland, like those April Fool's Necron rumors from like 3 years ago.
Exactly.
It was just
like
you're just making shit up, and I can tell. I personally love it. I hope they do stick with the change in the turn sequence because I think it adds a lot of complexity to the game because then it even makes movement that much more important. Because
fresh and new. You know, like that was what did it in 8th edition was just. It was new. You were playing a whole new game. We were all novices again. That's what Warhammer 40,000 is.
Yes. No, absolutely. So like I said, I'm hoping
that's what
it
brings
is
the veterans back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, you know, it may actually sell some fast attack choices if, you know, that
all those boxes of bikes I have will actually be worthwhile. Although I'll never use the fucking White Scars character. I don't give a shit.
Corsair Con. Actually, John went 4-1 in Vegas with a con bike list that he thought was shitty and drank himself into
John
a coma after
game 2. John is a prodigy.
Yes, it is true. Because John, you'll look at
that's
John's...
That's why I called him the prodigy on the show he was in. That dude
you
is
will,
insane.
You will look at John's lists and you're just like, this is such a shitty list. How can you ever win games? And then John's like, I wreck you face.
Oh my God. His Space Wolves was terrible. And he yells, I thought that I had too. That game
That's
won.
The part I was shocked about. And I wreck your face.
Yeah.
Even does it in like a fake accent because he is kind of Asian, but he's not really.
That's what makes it shocking. You don't know if you should laugh or.
Because he's also very laid back too. He's more like a Boreal. But.
Well, there it is. Have a good night, folks.
Wow, I almost had Guinness coming out of my nose. Thanks for that. Wow.
Jesus.
Remember to tip your waitress. We're here for another 10
minutes.
We're
going to be on tour in a short period of time. Right. All right, let's move on to the stupidity check this week. We got a few more minutes.
One more thing I want to talk about. This one actually pissed me off because apparently the damage chart for vehicles isn't changing, but if you are not AP1, you take a -1, which actually makes vehicles twice as hard to kill.
There you go.
And to me,
that's
fantastic.
That,
well, yeah, I mean
don't get me wrong. It helps all my open-top vehicles out a lot. But
yeah. Well, I mean, fuck, with all of those 35-point rhinos, it's just straight bullshit. Like, it's just like, you know, are you kidding me? A 35-point rhino is already despicably survivable for 35 points.
Razorbacks, too.
You know, Razorbacks at 40. Like, it's just like, you look at the cost for a tank and how good they are under the 5th edition rule set, and now you're making them twice as good. Now, don't get me wrong. There were talks about something about, you know, if the vehicle moved so far and immobilized or a weapon destroyed also counted as a wreck. So that sort of helps balance out really fast moving vehicles to, you know, so it's not orcs just being like, I fuck your face and zipping forward.
Right.
So, I mean, there are some balances, but really you're making the parking lot better. Like, seriously, what the fuck is wrong with me? So if my tanks are stationary, they're twice as survivable as they used to be.
But as a model manufacturer,
win!
Isn't that what they want, though?
But I think that's balanced out by the, as you said before, the new kind of ability, mobility, and
you know what, that's fair.
Reliability of fast attack.
No, but even then, if heavy weapons are hitting stationary vehicles even easier, I guess that kind of might be.
That also balances
it
out, but I really think fast attack, because there's not a fast attack choice out there that doesn't have the equivalent. Of a Melta.
Because I think with that more than anything else, we're not getting a sense of the true picture of what we're
because I mean, I could be making this up, but I think in the rumors it mentioned that a heavy weapon shooting at a stationary monstrous creature or tank will hit on a 2+. So it's just like,
I remember something like that. They really talk like compare what it is versus what it's moved, and that's what you
Dude,
get your number.
You know what I'm hearing? Fucking all infantry foot guard with las cannons. Oh, your parking lot didn't
move?
I hit on 2s!
Space Wolves were born to shoot.
Oh my god.
Missile launchers. At vehicles.
But I mean, honestly,
amazing. That is like game
This
changing.
Is kind of everything that we've talked about in terms of 40,000, Warhammer 40,000, and the net lists and the leaf blowers and things of that nature, where it's just like, oh no, they're easy to beat. You just have to know how to beat them. You just have to build a balanced list and you'll always have no problem with them. That's never going to really change in Warhammer 40,000 and 5th edition. I think that's kind of where we're going to start seeing those changes in 8th edition, is this idea where every great thing has a great counter.
Yeah, you know,
and that's what's gonna
and maybe
break
the counter is gonna
this
be
meta game that we have right now.
You know, because they are adding flyers into the main rules, and I mean, you've known this decision is coming because from the Tyranid book on, they've been adding flyers into the books. I mean, Tyranids have the Harpy, Blood Angels have the short bus, Dark Eldar have the two fighters, Grey Knights have the short bus. So I mean, they're guard. Well,
I don't think anybody is going to dispute that's a great direction for the game.
So
Workshop has hated Forge World since Forge World scooped them on the Crisis Battle.
Yes.
Yes. You know, so I mean, adding flyers.
Well,
flyers may end up
one-ups them.
Yeah, well, payback is a bitch, I guess.
It is, eh?
That means they get to fire them.
Games Workshop.
Sorry, folks. The inside joke here is the moment you get hired at Games Workshop is when they start telling you that they can fire you at any time.
At any moment. And that you are exceptionally expendable.
They are just looking for that excuse. And anyone
and
that has
and
ever
it's
worked
not
for
even as being bitter. It's true. The
that one's for
in,
you, Ward, and Mark.
And Mark.
I mean, the amount of guys we know that got fired and they've dedicated themselves to the company. I mean,
they're so happy to fire you. They're exceptionally eager for you to start that first day. And a week later, they're just explaining to you how many different ways they can fire you. That is the game.
It's like when the cop comes to your school and says, hey, you know, I can actually arrest you for anything. let me point it out to you, like, I really yes. really can, actually.
And I really want to, as well.
Yeah, the workshop replaces it where they really want to. He's just kind of like, but I don't want to, because that's paperwork.
You're great for this job, but you are a dime a fucking dozen. all right, let's get on to the stupidity check for this week. Kyle, you are the guest.
Just go ahead. And no hobo stupidity on, like, the guy that fired you and closed the store or anything like that. Because anyone that knows him already knows that he's failed many a stupidity check.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, no, my stupidity check is more Games Workshop. Surprise, surprise. Just last week, well, if you read one of the first rumors, I talked about how the... what's the word I'm looking for? The new releases are being handled, and also how White Dwarf is handling it. Just yesterday, I think the Games Workshop website talked about how White Dwarf comes out officially now on the last Saturday of every month, and it's going to handle all the new releases and blah, 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 blah. Now, I work in a independent retail store, or did work in an independent retail store, and the big thing with that is I got a phone call from Games Workshop the other day, and they said, your White Dwarf is coming out last Saturday of the month. We're not going to allow any notice about any kind of models actually hit your store before then. So you're not going to know what's coming out, so your store can order stuff until you see the White Dwarf in your cold, dead hands. So then you, at that point, it's like, and the next Saturday will be when it comes out on the website. The Saturday after is going to be the first release. So you're going to have 2 weeks' notice to order stuff for your customer. I'm just like, that's kind of crazy, kind of dumb. I get, you know, and all my even-handedness, I get the sentiment, which is they're tired of talk about stuff for 3 months when something's new and it finally hits the shelves. Everyone's always like, oh, well, who cares? I'm more excited about what's coming out 3 months from now. I'll always be more excited about what's coming out far ahead. I get they don't like that. I get why that's bad.
You know, and it's funny you mention that, because when we were at Throne of Skulls, at the end of the Saturday, they're doing sort of a big pitch and presentation where, you know, it was one part, please come work for Games Workshop. We're awesome. We pay really well.
And one part, we want to fire you. It's our MO. Yeah,
that's right. But, I mean, even then they mentioned that...
He even says so in your Games Workshop belt bucket.
Because when people asked about releases, he was just like, well, I'm not going to say anything because I know for a fact that people aren't excited about anything except right when they see it. So we're going to try to make sure that no one sees it until it's out. And I was just like, but it's bullshit. Because straight up, I would rather... I mean, like, fuck, this hobby takes time to build and paint. Like, for me, I would rather you tell me, you know, with a straight face and say, you know what, Dark Elves are coming out in April of next year. You know, we're... So, these are the kits not being replaced. So if
or even
I want
more
to,
ambiguous, they're a year out.
Yes, they're a year out. Because at the end of the day, if I am so excited for an army and I want to start them, I'm not going to buy shit because you haven't told me what you're replacing. Because I don't want to stock up on models and have you phase them out.
This is the problem. Is, you know, 4 years ago, 2005, 2006, Workshop used to have a policy where independent stores, they could basically round up all their dead stock that Workshop told them they needed lots of and didn't actually sell, so they could then trade it in for other
stuff. Black Templar Rhinos, right?
Yeah. Well, they'd just be like, well, you know what? It was called stock rotation. So basically you could take about $1,000 worth of stuff, trade it for more current stuff because it's not selling for you, so on and so forth. And the triple whammy of all this is they don't have stock rotation. They don't let stores actually figure out what their customers want because they're not going to give stores any notice. And if the rumor is true, they're going to make it so the stores have to order these preset combos to get the stuff on release date. You know, so I can order 10
new release boxes of whatever.
Yeah, you know, 10 Tomb King fucking skeletons riding, surfboarding on top of man snakes. You have to order 10 of these if you want them on release day. You know, guess what? I can sell 2 of them, you know?
Right. Yeah. I've got 2 pre-orders.
And now I've got...
One goes on the shelf.
And now I've got 8 that go on the shelf until I can sell the rest of them. And if they're like Ushabti with bows, they're fucking not worth it.
Yes, right.
You know, imagine if you had to order 6 of those guys and you knew that no Tomb Kings player wants them because they're just a giant fucking... What are they, strength 5? What's
a strength 6 bow that hits on 5s because Arizona Saf.
It's basically...
I was hoping it was like a giant ballista.
Wait. No, they do not have even the volley close. Fire rule. So when you spend like 1,000 points and have 3+ ranks, bam, like a boss. Yeah.
Anyways, but for me, that is what the triple whammy is. I'm not, as a store, you're not allowed to find out what your customers want by knowing stuff ahead of time. you're not allowed to order what you want. And if you have overordered stuff because you have wanted to get stuff on release date, you're stuck with it till you finally sell it.
Right.
I think that's a huge stupidity failure on their part. I mean, or maybe it's a...
Well, I mean, I think the only good thing about that, I think the only good thing about that is that you actually would carry Games Workshop product, unlike the Games Workshops.
No, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, who is this hurting? This is hurting the small stores. You know, if you're a Maelstrom Games, you know, if you're any of these really big independent retailers,
Maelstrom.
Excellent. If you're an anti-sponsor, you don't give a shit because you know you sell such huge, massive volumes that when Games Workshop says you have to buy 10, you're going to ask for 20. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But when you're, you know, small little, you know, I'm in a small town, America, you know, and we're population 1,000 and I'm the only hobby store for 100 miles. And you
I've
need
got
me
one
to get,
Tomb King player in the town.
I have one Tomb King player, and you need me to buy 10 of these pieces of shit? Like, come on.
To put this into perspective, okay, I was in a trade, independent retail store. I think Games Workshop was about $250,000 a year, $200,000, maybe $150,000 what we sold per year. And we were worried about ordering four of something.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, when Eldar came out, we had the Warwalkers come out.
Yeah.
Not a single one sold for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what I mean. Like, it's this kind of stuff where it comes down to them being able to forecast what's going to sell. And it's just like, but you guys are showing that you don't even, that you're drinking your own Kool-Aid and you're fucking
But what
high.
This really comes down to, and I've said it multiple times, and I'm sorry, I truly believe it. This is just the next step, one more step in the whole progress of Games Workshop moving away from any of their stores and any of their independent retailers and just moving to a web-based business.
And yet, they don't realize the internet exists.
Well,
Games Workshop doesn't realize it exists. Games Workshop has
the best... They're starting to make White Dwarf have pre-internet updates in it, which I'm, you know... Hey, at least it's worth it. I mean, if their internet is going to have it, at least their magazine
is that like smelling the shit before you step in it?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so.
No, listen, Games Workshop has the absolute best website built on 2005 standards. I mean, like, really, I mean, you know, their web presence is also very 2005. Like, you know, like, yeah, they're 6 years behind the game and they're happy being there. Yeah, I mean, fuck, it took them 15 years to acknowledge the internet existed. Like, let's just be happy for them.
But this was the company that had cell managers up until a year ago.
Yes, but that was because when all of the Lord of the Rings money came out, they actually legitimately did not realize that Lord of the Rings sales would drop off without a movie.
Yeah, well.
They're just like, oh my God, without a Lord of the Rings movie, we didn't expect Lord of the Rings sales to drop off this fast, this hard.
Well, it was them learning how the mainstream.
That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, like, it's just like, these people are terrible.
Just because Johnny bought G.I. Joe 3 years ago does not mean he's going to buy G.I. Joe next year.
No, that's true.
And that's all it was. It was just...
Oh, although I did hear from the guy down in Throne of Skulls that apparently they signed a new licensing agreement with New Line Cinema for a yet to be announced game. But I mean, I have no idea what that could possibly be.
Oh my God. Well,
so like he couldn't let the cat out of the bag because this is big news. For
it's
games
like
Alberta
stand waiting for the next boom,
yeah,
right?
No shit.
Well, right. The next boom, we won't fuck it up. Please, God, give me one more Lord of the Rings movie. We won't fuck it up this time. Oh, shit, things are busy. We need cell managers.
Oh, but it's okay.
There's just too many Hobbit
they're
jokes
gonna
involved.
Be, they're going to be two of those movies. They're going to split it up.
So. But you know what? They can make it work. New Line can. I'm not saying Games Workshop.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say,
I'm
wait,
saying New Line
saying?
Can. I really do like who they cast for Bilbo, actually. Did you know who it was? Do you watch Sherlock from the BBC?
You know the guy
if you've seen him, but he's actually he's a good actor. Really good in Sherlock.
Yeah. No, I saw the guy's
been
photo.
This the most ranty, off-topic podcast ever, hasn't it?
Yes. Three of us drinking, and that's the biggest problem, is three ex-Games Workshop employees drinking, and it's like, when was the last time I was at your house? 5 months ago?
I was going to say the last
not
barbecue
longer, that was
had.
The last summer barbecue that we had.
I know for sure last summer, but you were here before, since... Yeah, yeah, it was at our tournament. No.
Lang doesn't like to go to our tournaments.
No, he's too cutthroat. He doesn't like how
just
we screwed the metagame.
Because they're fucking 40K tournaments, man. Oh, my God. Anyways.
We can fill a room of 40K players. We can't fill a room of fantasy players.
Yeah,
that's
the truth right there.
Can. You heard about Warhammer Day.
Hey, he actually opened up more spots. I'm going now.
Sold out in 6 hours.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, I could be convinced
Listen,
to come.
Warhammer plus alcohol.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Paul Ting just has to apologize to me. No, I'm just fucking.
What? Do you honestly think he's listening? Fuck.
No.
Hi,
no.
Mom.
Anyways.
No one listens.
Well, thank you, Kyle.
My pleasure.
That's been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.
Thanks, Kyle.
Oh, shit, son. It's outro music.